Hi, I'm Arch Curry. How could love be a felony? When I got married the first time, I was a student in college in Montreal and consumed by the overheated 20-something version of My Kind of Love, it lasted for a good long time. Add to that years of perseverance and certain degree of passion on my part, it lasted even longer than a good time. Eventually, things came apart, and I filed for a divorce, and I was living in Phoenix, Arizona by that point. By the time the trial came around, I had moved on. I was living with my sister in New Jersey, so I had to fly back to Phoenix and live with a friend to do the court proceedings to get the marriage behind me. Well, it wasn't meant to be. She still thought that fighting was a good thing to do, and so I sat there, and the case was continued to another date. So after that, I turned to my attorney and her attorney. I said, all right, if I can get nothing else out of this trip, can I at least have a visit with my 8-year-old daughter? I've been prevented from seeing her for months. Can we make this happen? Can we make it happen now? Arrangements were made, and it all seemed very amiable. And the attorney for my now ex-wife turns to me and says, you know, I suspect this isn't going to go too well. I suspect I'm going to hear about it, but you know, this is the right thing to do. Have a nice evening. So I then borrowed my friend's car. I drive up to the old house, and there waiting at the door for me is my daughter with her mother. She was clearly not interested in cooperating with the visit with my daughter that night. And so one thing led to another, and the discussion turned into an argument. The argument turned into a shouting match, and I started losing it. I'm still kind of ashamed in a way to kind of tell you all of this, but nevertheless, I grabbed my daughter under my arm, and I whirled around, and I'm beating my way out to the car. Well, in a flash, my wife had dashed into the house and came racing out with a racquetball racket and is now pounding me on the head and shoulders with a racquetball racket. I kind of regret having taught her how to play the game. but there she is. And so she's pounding on me. I got my daughter on one arm. I'm trying to fend her off with the other arm. And F-bombs are being hurled back and forth. I discovered I'm a son of a bitch. And we're really, really into it. At which point, a cop car comes screeching to a halt at the end of the driveway. Two burly officers come racing down the sidewalk. And wouldn't you know, they instantly defused the situation by putting me in handcuffs and throwing me into the back of the patrol car. Well, I then discovered in the Phoenix City Jail what the jurisprudence system is all about as I got my first set of fingerprints taken at approaching age 40. I was really disappointed. But more to the point, I discovered that I was being charged with a newly enacted law in the state of Arizona called felony domestic violence, and put back into the cell with the instructions to call somebody. Well, calling somebody for an architect is usually a problem because that requires memory of numbers as opposed to images and visuals, and so I was absolutely at sea. I couldn't call my friend because the reason he was a friend is that he too had just gone through his divorce and was unpublished. I could remember 4 phone numbers in life. My office where I was working in New York, clearly not an option. My former office in Phoenix, also not an option. The number of the house that I had just been arrested at, so that clearly wasn't an option. And my sister in New Jersey. So what am I going to do? I call my sister in New Jersey, and she she answers the phone, and I explain my situation. What am I going to do? She asked me. I have no idea. I don't know who else I can call. I'm stuck. This is it. You're my call. Can you help me, please? Hang up. We're done. So all of us, that's me and the guys that were arrested for drunk and disorderly and the drug deals gone bad and the breaking and entering and the car accidents, all that sort of stuff, we're then transferred to another cell where we are expected to go to sleep on the cots that they provided, which are stainless steel shelves bolted to the wall. They're nicely cushioned with perforations, no mattresses or pillows. It's like trying to go to sleep on a prep counter in a commercial kitchen, you really. And with all the milling about and the fluorescent lights over my head, sleep didn't happen. Tossed and turned and watched what was going on, and finally, to my relief, we're being moved to yet another cell. Well, this cell was even bigger. It had three tiers of stainless steel shelves that we could sleep on. And at that point, I was just bone weary. I had been through a lot, I thought, at that point. And I finally found myself climbing to the top to get as far away as I could from all the commotion going on around me. And believe it or not, I actually fell asleep in the middle of all of this. Now, it couldn't have been for long. It's just not possible given what was going on around me. But what woke me up was the commotion on the floor. While I had slept, and another inmate had arrived into the cell, an older gentleman. They had found him the only chair that was available in this large cell. And he had created a nice convivial campfire on the floor. He had his acolytes of his drunk and disorderly friends and his drug deal busters gone bad and all that sort of stuff. And they were sitting cross-legged on the floor, and he was just chatting with his newfound friends. At which point, one of the young men says to the older gentleman, "Hey, man, where you get them fluorescent shoes?" So he explained that you get those fluorescent shoes along with a nice lime green jumpsuit when you get transferred to county jail if you can't make bail or if you don't get released by the judge who holds night court that's going to happen in a few hours. So night court is now approaching, and I'm wondering what's going to happen. We get marshaled into the room, and lo and behold, there's my friend. Somehow, miraculously, he had been found. Or he was wondering what happened to his car, maybe, I don't know. And to this day, I don't know how he found me in the middle of the night in the night court as I'm being adjudicated by the judge. I tell my tale of woe. The judge seemed sympathetic. Well, it possibly had something to do with my disheveled appearance, my blood-spattered, torn pink polo shirt, my beige shorts, my athletic socks, and my sneakers, as I'm trying to describe what to me was a horrific evening. And he says, "Okay, I'm releasing you to the custody of your friend." I had been given a ticket out of there. Not quite right away. I still had to go back to jail while they processed me and created all of the paperwork. And as I stepped out into the night, out of the night, into the now blazing sun of the already blistering hot Phoenix, Arizona morning, my friend and I found our way out to his car to fight another day. The only problem was I had to buy my own footwear.